to you. Excellent. Good evening, everybody. Hope you're all well. As I was planning and thinking about praying through over quite a period of time for tonight, I thought I'd do something just a little bit different. I might even sit down. Simon Benham won't be watching this. He's a friend of mine, but he always preaches like this because he's so cool. I've got one or two friends that preach like this because they're so big. They have to sit down while they're preaching. I'm not going to mention them, though. So tonight, I just want to talk to you about somebody very, very famous. You'll all have heard of Gunnar Hoag. Gunnar Derwunder? No? Oh. What if I told you for 9 years he held a world record? Any clues as to what that world record might be? If I told you this world record lasted for 4 minutes, 1.5 seconds, would you know who he was? He was the fastest mile runner for 9 years, and nobody came within 5 seconds of this amazing time. The time that people said could not physically, humanly be beaten. And why have we never heard of Gunnar Derwunder from Sweden? Because on the 6th of May 1954, a certain Roger Bannister ran just under 4 minutes. And so he's famous. But for 9 long years, people said it was impossible, impossible to run under 4 minutes. The human body was not capable of moving so quickly. For those watching on TV, a guy's just walked towards us on crutches. It's impossible to run that fast. It was impossible. And then, when Roger Bannister had done it, 45 days later, his new world record was beaten. And then it was beaten again. And then again. And then again. And then again, until today, the record stands at 3 minutes, 43 seconds. Now, I've been on a treadmill and tried to run at that pace, and I can't physically make my legs go that fast for 10 seconds, let alone 3 minutes, 43 seconds. So to run at that speed is, of course, impossible. Except it's been done. It was impossible to run sub 4 minutes until it was done. And then lots of people did it. Because people believed. They saw it and believed it could happen. And so they were able to function differently. Luke 19, it's a story from the Bible. Luke, if you don't know, if you're not around church very often, Luke is written by one of Jesus' followers, a disciple as we call them. He became an apostle, that's like a leader of disciples, if you like. And he wrote this, and he recorded what Jesus said this time. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came to seek and save the lost. Now, here's why that relates to that first story, because people automatically say, that's impossible. It's impossible. It can't be done. People so often think, it can't be done for me. So people will say, yeah, but you don't know what my life was. I can't be saved. I can't be a Christian. Jesus can save lots of people, but he can't save me. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't be real for me. Not so I know me. It's impossible. People think they don't win. I never win. Well, that was a fairly pathetic show of concern and interest that I've got to be truthful. I never win anything. There was one occasion where I won. Actually, I think it might have been rigged because people have been nice for me. But once when I was poor, I mean still poor, but just longer ago, I entered if you're one of them like proper posh Christians, I entered a lottery raffle thing. Since then, I've been suffering from God's wrath. So I entered this. It was like one of these Christmas fair things, and you paid your 10p, and you had to guess the total value. Oh, actually, so it was a skill game. It wasn't gambling. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't ever do a lottery. So it was a like guess the weight and the value of this basket of all this posh Christmas food, and we got within a few pence of the price, didn't we? Yes, just before Christmas, a massive bundle of all these amazing Christmassy type foods. Wow, I won. It was impossible, but we were like within 10 pence of the actual price. It's the only thing I've ever won in my entire life, legitimately. That's what I said. Then the Bible says, he has chosen. See, I chose the price. I chose the price and got lucky. Jesus chooses us. Doesn't get lucky. He chooses us. Knowing exactly our worth. Because he paid the price for our worth. He didn't guess the price. He paid the price. It's impossible, but he did it. Something every Christian needs to know is the truth of this story, that what seems to be impossible is possible in their lives. That's how they become a Christian, because this impossible thing has become possible through Christ. I have been chosen and belong to him. And we need to know that, because if we don't know that and own that, how can we share the Jesus story to other people? We can't share what we think is impossible. We've got to share what we know to be true, what we own. It says in 1 Peter chapter 9, this is another letter written by another one of Jesus' followers a long time ago, but it's still true today. And this is how it describes those impossible people that found it's become possible to become a Christian, chosen by Christ. And it says this: but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That's amazing. Just listen to that word. You are a precious possession. Just get hold of that. You know, oh, but I know me, it's impossible. But Jesus knows your price, he paid it, and says you are his special possession. That is something, isn't it? I need to get hold of that and understand. I need to own that. Obviously, that couldn't be talking about me. That's obviously talking about other Christians. Because other Christians are God's special possession. I just kind of stand in the background. I just kind of sneak in at the back. Other people are special. Jewel is special. Lisa's special. Chris is here. And surely, God doesn't look at somebody like me and say, my special possession. Actually, Scripture says he does. And not only that, it says he chose me. And he looks at me and says, you are like royalty. You are holy because of me. Wow, you were nobody, but now you're part of an amazing nation. I've got to know this. It seems impossible, but for me to know it, it's like me running a 4-minute spiritual mile. It seems impossible, but then when you break through it and you own it, other people can see you own it. Other people can see you knowing that spiritual 4-minute truth, and that they can begin to believe it for themselves. They can begin to break through too. So what I'd like to do now, without any rehearsal whatsoever, is invite a sensible, wired up, not showy offy, not performing monkey, nobody that's going to be like a seal clapping their hands and trying to get one over me, ordinary, normal Christian to come and sit on this chair, please. Okay, none of you fitted that description. Have we got any performing monkeys in the room that like to show off and would like to come and sit on the chair? The chair's waiting, come on. There is no sermon unless you do it. Okay, welcome the performing monkey. Performing monkey gets a microphone. If I give you the nod, just turn it off, Neil. Right, all you need to do is to give me very short answers.
Yes.
Were you born?
Yes.
Where were you born?
Barnsley.
When were you born?
12th of June, 1992.
Wow. a grown-up born in 1992. This is so wrong. Did you go to school?
Yeah.
What was your first school?
Barnes Christian School.
Really?
Reception year one.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah. Where did you go into in between?
Darton Primary, St Michael's, then back to home. Well, Barnes Christian School, yeah.
Wow, how amazing you went to school. Do you have parents?
I do.
She has parents, ladies and gentlemen. Do you have siblings?
Yep.
Older or younger?
They're both younger.
Close shave. Unlike me, I'm the middle child. I'm the kind of, you know, the special one that comes first that can do no wrong? Or in your case, mainly do wrong?
Mainly do the wrong.
Yeah, and then you get the middle child. Not as special as the first one, but then you get the baby. So you're never as special as the baby. So people like me are...
You get away with it because they forget you're there.
No performing monkey tonight, thank you. Have you ever had a job?
Yes.
One that you've held down?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, have you become a Christian?
Yes.
When did you become a Christian? Because I just need to know this, because you've just described a very, like, you were an ordinary person, born in an ordinary family, born at a sensible time, that went to, like, ordinary school and did, in like, and you're saying you became a Christian, but you're normal.
Yeah.
Stretch your imagination.
Pretty much always sort of known, but I made a decision for myself when I was about 11 or 12.
11 or 12. You became Christian at 11 or 12. You worked out this Jesus thing, this impossible thing that could actually be possible and it could be for you.
Yeah.
And you became a Christian then?
Yeah.
Do you glow in the dark now?
No.
You mean you're still, like, just a person in the street?
Most of the time.
Wow. I'm going to take the microphone off you now. It's all right. You're not, I just want you to stay there looking ordinary. Is there anybody else that fits that ordinary person description? I just want one more person to come and sit on that end stool there. One ordinary person. Come on, an ordinary person. Just like Jarvis in the street. Oh, we've got somebody coming. Ian's coming. Ian's coming. Ian's coming. Cheer him on. Ian's thinking, I was just popping to the toilet. Come and sit down. Come and sit. Grab a seat. Grab a seat if you can. Well, out of that. This is my mate Ian. It could be a while till there's a 4-minute mile. There's a good chance it could be a while till he does a mile. But Ian's amazing. Are you on there? Don't lean back. There's no back. I just want you to nod. Were you born?
Yes.
Did you go to school?
Yes.
Have you got parents?
Yes.
Wow. Have you ever had a job?
Several.
Several? Have you ever become a Christian?
Yes.
All my days. You mean you've become a Christian?
Yes.
But you're just an ordinary bloke in the street? But now you're a Christian. Wow. Can you give him a round of applause, please? And you may take your seats. Thank you. You're very important. What I want you to... As these two very important people leave the stage, I just want you to get hold of this. They're really ordinary. They're dead ordinary. There's nothing to look at and go, ooh. You see, you thought just handsome people got saved. You thought just the most muscular, athletic, intelligent, handsome people, like somebody else, got saved. But ordinary people become Christians. And the truth is, whatever, we think they're special. But to God, they are special.
Yeah.
Naomi is just a young woman, a young mum, fairly newly married, from Barnsley, but the Lord says special possession. And right here is a guy called Ian, who's had all sorts happening in his life, all sorts of different things, but he's just an ordinary guy in the street facing all sorts of the kind of life challenges. But here's the thing, God says he's my special possession.
Yeah.
How amazing is that? Yeah. Wow, we get to have purpose and reason for being. When we become Christians, ordinary people like you and me, something remarkable happens. In Matthew chapter 28, it says this: meanwhile, the 11 disciples, people like you and me, were on the way to Galilee, headed for the mountain Jesus had set for their reunion. And sometimes being a Christian is like climbing a mountain. When you're dead ordinary, doing the Christian thing feels like climbing a mountain. The moment they saw Jesus, they worshipped him. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. Lots of ordinary Christians like me hold back, scared of committing themselves totally. But Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave this charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them for baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. Can I have the band back onto the stage, please? See, something remarkable and wonderful happens with ordinary people. God takes the ordinary people like you and me, and we are very ordinary, and he does something exceptional. The Bible also says, in our weakness is his strength. When we surrender ourselves to him, he brings us purpose. And he can take people like you and me and turn us into Christians. He can save us. He can do the impossible. He can do the spiritual sub-4-minute mile and make us his own. And that is remarkable. And what is astonishing is I look at myself and I look at these two people here and the people on the stage. And they're great people, but they're just like people. And yet, we've all broken through. That impossible thing has become possible in our lives. And so this evening, I just want to encourage you to know that God has called you into being special, into being special possessions. And you've got to learn to live in that, to own it. This evening, you might not even be a Christian. You might still think it's impossible for you. I hope you've seen in just two ordinary, but now wonderful, wonderfully ordinary people, loved, special, ordinary people, you can run a sub-4-minute spiritual mile. The impossible can become possible in Jesus. And so I just want to ask you this evening, are you up for running a 4-minute mile? Are you up for saying, my life, who am I? How can I be good enough? How can I be good enough to do that job? Because God says so. Because Christ is sufficient in our weakness. Who's up for running tonight? Why don't we stand to our feet? I'm just going to pray a prayer. It's written down on a sheet of paper here. I'm going to read it out. It's a prayer we pray when we become a Christian for the first time. It's a prayer that people make when they say, I want the impossible to become possible for me. And many of you are Christians, possibly all of you in this room tonight. But hey, we're going to say it anyway to remind us that the impossible became possible in our lives. And it says this. And just close our eyes just to concentrate on these words. Lord Jesus, I know I've done things wrong in my thoughts and words and actions. There are so many good things I've not done. There are so many wrong things I have done, and I'm sorry for those wrong things and turn from everything I know to be bad. You gave your life for me on the cross, and gratefully I give my life back to you. Now I ask you, come into my life. Come in as my Savior to clean me. Come in as my Lord to lead me, and I will serve you all the remaining days of my life. Amen. So if you want to talk about that afterwards and come and talk to me, one of the people you've seen on stage. But we're going to return to worship for a song or two now. And just as we do that, I want you to be able to stand and claim your not ordinariness. Claim your impossible. Let it become possible. And know that you are a precious possession in Christ. Amen.